Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Holly, Ryan's wife.
Welcome back, Holly. So yes, this week I have a very special guest, my beautiful wife, Holly, who is joining me today to do a quick recap of our trip to Hollywood Studios. No. Scratch that. Where do we go?
We went to Universal Studios. Islands of Adventure, and parks.
That's right. So Dak is off this week, Randy's off this week, and I really wanted to do this episode with Holly because she is a Universal fan, as am I. We are pass holders. We've talked about that on the show. And we were out there for a very special event.
We were, yeah.
You want to kind of give a quick recap of why we were out there?
Well, our daughter does all-star competitive cheer. And so their team went out there. They were second place in the nation when they went out. And they won really kind of what is called mini world for cheer. So they took first place amongst 55 other teams and scored the highest in their whole division. So
it was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was an amazing weekend. And I mean, as parents, we were just super, super proud. We were all crying. It was just an amazing weekend to be there with her daughter and her cheer team and all the cheer parents. And
if you know what it is, it's Summit. We went to Summit for cheer and our daughter did Youth Summit. And so that's what they won. So level one Youth Summit.
Yeah. So. And we celebrated by going to Universal.
Yeah. Well, we went to Universal with the intention if they lost, we would go to Universal because they had a really sad loss in Dallas for NCAA. And so we thought that might cheer us up. But if they won, then it would be a celebration. So we were super lucky that it was a celebration.
And it turned out to be, the weather was fantastic.
Perfect.
Actually, really low humidity for this time of year.
For sure.
This was just a couple weekends ago, so this is pretty recent. So great weather.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah, could have gone either way, but it was great weather. So anyway, we finish up the competition, and we drive over to Universal. And let's just kind of go through our day. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to do this was because I think this scenario happens a lot where people go out to Orlando, they go out to Tampa for some sort of competition, for an event, and they may have a day or two where they go hit the parks. And whether that be Disney, whether that be Universal, or even SeaWorld or Legoland, they usually end up picking one of those parks and they go for a day or two. So we did Universal on that Saturday. And now here's the caveat, is that you and I are annual pass holders to Universal. So we've already paid the admission. So that cost was already factored in months ago for this trip, right?
And it was not included. I know there were some cheer teams there that their park was probably included with it. It was not for us. This was just a bonus for
us. This was a bonus, yeah.
So and Disney wasn't included either. We really just did Universal.
But I did some pricing. So real quickly, what do you think the price? So if we were to just do this without annual passes, pick up a 1-day Universal ticket for 3 adults with the park to park pass. So at Universal, if you want to do King's Cross, which is the train that goes from park to park, that's the Harry Potter train. Everybody loves it. That gives you the option to travel park to park without having to go back around.
The Hogwarts Express is what it's called. Enter King's Cross if you're coming from Universal Studios and going to Islands of Adventure.
But, that's right.
Yeah, Hogwarts Express is what
I do know
about.
What I'm talking about most of the time, but that's why you're here, because you are.
I know Universal a little better.
You know Universal a little bit better than I do. So, if you don't get the park to park, then you don't get to do the Hogwarts Express.
Right. Correct. Yeah. You can only do Hogwarts Express if you do park to park.
That's right. So just pricing out the park to park option, how much do you think it is?
I would say for 3 people, especially because our daughter's 13 now, my guess is like $600 for the day.
Yes, $6.67.
Wow.
So that would be one day at Universal, and that's a Saturday. That's going to be the most expensive day of the week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By comparison, I priced out Disney. So similar situation. If you were to go to Disney for one day, and let's say you choose Magic Kingdom. Let's not do a park hopper. I think park hoppers would be difficult at Disney for a one-day trip because
agreed.
There's...
It takes too much time to travel.
It just takes too much time, right? So how much do you think a one-day trip to Disney would have been for us?
On a Saturday?
On a Saturday.
My guess is like $5.50.
Yeah, $5.37. So for all those saying that Disney is crazy expensive, I think the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this day at Universal would have been a more expensive day.
Yeah, that makes
sense. For the typical family.
Even if you went to the most expensive park, which is Magic Kingdom.
And yeah, it would have been cheaper had you gone to Epcot or Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So anyway, all right. So we show up and I wanted to do, so, and you were very much like, let's stay to our well-tested attractions. Let's not try a ton of new stuff.
Well, we had one day. And we were all, bear in mind, our daughter had competed in competitions. So we had, you know, late nights and early mornings and very long days. So already tired, knowing that we were going to also have to travel home the next day to get her home for school on Sunday. Or excuse me, on Monday. So travel home on Sunday. And so it was literally just this day. So I really was like, wanted it to be low key, yeah, things we normally do, and not a stressful like run from, you know, adventure to adventure kind of day. So,
well,
let's be honest, kind of how I am anyway. I live like I have a very high stress life, so when I go to the parks, I want it to be low stress. So.
Very true, and I'm usually that way as well. I don't know. Sometimes I am.
I think it depends on the day.
It depends on the day. It depends on who I'm with. Like sometimes on our guys' trips, it's get as much done as we can. But with the family, it's more of a laid back atmosphere.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think that's because we are very busy and obviously our kids are very busy as well.
Yeah. So. But we did try. So we got there, our very first attraction. We walked in and it wasn't terribly crowded. And we walked by the Minions. What's it called?
I looked that up and I don't know really what it's called. I would say, and this is hopefully this is okay to say, I think it's like a Buzz Lightyear ripoff.
I forget. It's Minions.
I can find it. Yeah. But it's to me, like I said, kind of a ripoff of Buzz Lightyear, except for you're standing.
Well, so I thought that was interesting. So it's the Minions. It's a shooting game, very much like you said, Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger spin, except you're on a moving platform.
It's called Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem.
Minion Mayhem. That's right. We walked past it. I'm like, it's only 10-minute wait. We've never done it. Let's just hop in and try it and see what it's like. It's a newer attraction. So, but yeah, you stand and it's like a conveyor belt. You just stand on the belt and it takes you through these different rooms with different screens. And it's like Buzz Lightyear, but it's also a little bit like, you remember Web Slingers at Disneyland?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's kind of a combination of that and Buzz Lightyear. You're right. It's kind of a poor man's. We didn't like it.
I felt like, at least for me, I need like the beginning part, you know, where I feel like in Toy Story, there's like, okay, this is what we're trying to do. And Toy Story gives you like
a practice round,
yeah. But they also show you what you're shooting at and what you're hoping for. And Minions, it just like sticks you right into it. And I really was like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be shooting. In fact, I thought it was kind of funny. The guy next to me with his son was like, well, what are we shooting at? And he was like, I don't know, son, shoot at everything. And I just took his advice, shoot at everything, and said that same thing to our daughter, Riley, just shoot at everything.
So it was really chaos. Sure. There was a lot of information on the screen. It was very, very confusing. And aiming the gun, I could never tell where my little icon was on the screen.
No, I couldn't either.
Especially with like...
Or who was hitting what.
Yeah, 10 other guns focused on that one screen. It was hard to tell which icon was yours.
Whereas I feel like in most of the games that you do, you can tell which is yours, which is somebody else's. Like, that's pretty clear.
Yeah. Which I think, you know, and you brought it up. I think Toy Story Mania just has the market on this type of attraction.
Yeah. Like, it gives you,
two people, you know what you're shooting at. It gives, mm-hmm. gives you a practice round. And like, it's very clear cut what your objective is.
And I think, you know, the difference between that and this game is, you know, there's probably 10 people in the same room with you on a conveyor belt. And any of those 10 people could be hitting at anything on one wall or the other. Whereas, like you said, with Toy Story Mania, there's two people in a car. You know who is you, who is someone else. But there's not so many people that it's chaos. You're not. It just felt a little. It felt very, very chaotic to me. So not my favorite experience. Yeah. I was like one and done. I don't need to do that again.
I'm with you. One and done. Don't need to go back. So anyway, but we left there and we went and did our favorite attraction, which is the Mummy.
The Mummy. And I would say not my favorite ride overall, but my second favorite ride probably until they built, you know, Hagrid's motorbike.
Yeah. But it's probably
the Mummy was for sure my favorite ride of all the rides in all the parks, Disney included.
So it's currently our favorite ride at Universal Studios. Yeah,
absolutely.
Which is, I mean, it's an older attraction. It's been there for a while.
It's been there a long time. Yeah. For as long as I've been going there, the Mummy's been there.
Yeah. So. And if you're a fan of the movies, which we are.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it really kind of stays true to the theming from the movies.
And I also think, you know, our girls had never seen the movies and still loved the ride. And so they watched the movie and then it's made sense. But I think the ride is good enough and the ride makes sense enough on its own that if you've not seen the movies or your kids have not seen the movies, like, it's still a fun ride. I think, you know, older people can go on if they've never seen it. It's still a fun ride.
Yeah.
It's jerky.
It's a little jerky. I will say this. You know, I'm not a fan of tight restraints.
Right.
So usually on these types of attractions that require like a lap restraint, I don't do the ones that have the shoulder restraints anymore. But the lap restraints, this one's, it's pretty interesting because there is a, when you sit down, there's a place where you're, you know, you sit down and your two legs are kind of,
Held in,
yeah. Right?
There's like a, yeah, like a plastic,
yeah,
area, almost like a high chair situation.
Yeah, that's a great, like, way to put it. It's like a high chair. So the lap bar comes down, and I usually give it about maybe half inch of space, which was not the right thing to do on this trip because on that one particular downward slope.
Yeah, because it's a roller coaster as well.
It's a roller coaster as well.
It's an experience and a roller coaster.
It kind of beat me up there. I probably should have tightened the restraint a little bit more, but I didn't. So, but yeah, that's our favorite. I mean, and that part of the park, it's our favorite attraction.
And I think the fun part about the Mummy is, you know, two things. Even if the line is long, it always moves very fast because it is, you know, they're just constantly loading.
It's pretty reliable.
It's very reliable. I don't feel like it breaks down. I don't know that I've ever seen it break down. Like, it'll break down, but then they'll have it right back up. So it doesn't break down for like extended periods of time.
Maybe if someone throws up on it, they got to clean it up or something.
Which is totally,
possible.
Totally a possibility. But then also, I think that they have the option of doing single rider.
And we did that. We did it like three times.
Yeah. But our youngest is 13, and so,
So I think we single-ridered it twice out of those three times.
I believe so, yeah.
And it probably knocked off a good... So if the wait is an hour, single-rider is about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth it.
And even waiting an hour, you know, it's, like I said, the line moves very quickly. It's actually a cool line. You know, I think the queue is pretty cool looking.
Well, it's almost like they kind of give you behind the scenes of the production of the movie.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a little mystery mingled in.
Yeah. It's really fun. Okay. Like, you're backstage with all of the props and the movie and the people and skew.
Okay. Well, so we leave the Mummy and then we head over and we try another attraction we had never done before.
Yeah.
And
not my favorite.
Neither. Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what are we giving the Fast and the Furious attraction?
That's tough because I think the queue was very cute. So it was Fast and the Furious. I felt like for the queue and then not real great after that. It didn't feel Fast and the Furious for the ride. So I would say the queue is like a good, gives it a 4, but the ride is a 2. So
4 out of 10 for the queue?
Well, I think the queue is cute.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're ranking the queue by itself, I would say 7 out of 10.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I thought the queue was cute. It was pretty cool how it smelled like a garage. It smelled like gasoline, which I thought
it was very promising.
It was very promising. And we had gone in, and I had already known that it was not a very popular attraction because they're getting rid of it and bringing something new in. But you're right. I think you go through the queue and it's like, hey, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, you're like hyped up for something great. Yeah.
And they do like they do over at Rock and Roller Coaster where you have a scene where there's a live, I want to say cast member, but they don't call them cast members at Universal. Yeah. But they have an employee.
He's
interactive and he's actually communicating with someone on screen and the audience at the same time, which was pretty cool. And the guy that we had was pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure.
So
up you felt like something great was coming.
Yeah. So up until that point, it was like, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But then that's when the rails go off. You know, it's just like, we know the Fast and the Furious story, especially if you go back to the very first movie. Which
I think they I think the ride should stay true to that movie because I think most people have seen.
But it's the ride is based off the most recent movies, which is all about, you know, catching terrorists and, you know, police action, which is like to me, the movies are entertaining. But if you go back to the original Paul Walker, Vin Diesel, it's all about racing,
which is what I think they're more. I think that Fast and the Furious is more known for.
For sure.
And so when you get onto, I think what was a little odd at first was like, instead of getting into a car, which is what I expected to get into, was like a racing car, more like, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster or, you know, any sort of car, really. Instead, you get into what feels like a party bus.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you're way, way too squished in with people you don't know. It's very tight. It's like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a car.
It was a lot like the King Kong ride where you hop on a bus and then there's screens all around you and you're just kind of playing.
I like King Kong better than that.
Well, okay. Well, that's respectable. I'm not a fan of either one. I don't like sitting in a bus with screens around me. I think they did this franchise. Like Fast and the Furious is one of the biggest movie franchises. They've got 10 movies out. It's one of Universal's biggest IPs. And this attraction has a large footprint. Like it is a huge warehouse that this thing sits in. And the best they could come up with is a 40 attraction.
Well, and you know, the ride doesn't really move. It just kind of like it tilts and shifts and stuff. But it's not like you feel like you should be like moving somewhere. But you're really just in a car that is sort of rocking back and forth, simulating you driving around the city.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know. To me, it was really boring.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier, like what they should do and what they should have done. Something along the lines of like Radiator Springs Racers from Disneyland,
absolutely.
Where you have two separate ride vehicles and maybe they're going through like LA and then they come to an end and they decide, well, it's, you know, it's your 10 second car, right?
Yeah.
And you're racing for pink slips.
Yeah.
Like that would have been fun. That's a cool idea.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. But other, you know.
And really, I think if you're going on a Fast and the Furious ride was what I was expecting is the truth. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm with you. Probably a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, the ride itself. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, the queue is cute.
Yeah. Okay. And is that all we did?
I think we went into Diagon Alley, and I don't know that we did anything there. And we opted to, because I think maybe the Gringotts ride was really long. And so we went into, we went to King's Cross and we jumped over to the other park. So we took the Hogwarts Express to Islands of Adventure.
That's right.
So, but I would say, and this was not something that we did on this trip, but this is one of those things that if I only have a day at Universal, there's two things like food-wise that I think are you shouldn't miss. And not very far from where you enter into King's Cross to go to Diagon Alley. If you go towards kind of the, it's Mel's Diner. If you goes towards Mel's Diner, there is a great place there that you cannot miss. I think it is the best food in both the parks.
Yes.
So, and it's called Central Park Crepes, and it is fantastic.
They are pretty good. They do a good job with crepes.
So, wish we would have done that, but we didn't because we were not hungry.
Universal as a whole, their food selection is not very good. But you're right. I think the crepe place is actually it's good. It's fantastic.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Hold up. We did do Gringotts. We single ridered it. Remember? Really? Yeah.
We did do Gringotts. That's right. Okay. We
skipped the line and did just, again, single rider to the rescue. It was like a 90-minute wait.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked on almost with single rider.
Yeah. And it just goes so fast. So
And that's a good attraction.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I think that it wasn't worth 90 minutes to us. And it was a long wait time. And we are lucky in that our kids are old enough, or our youngest one, you know, is old enough that we could say, we're going to stick you between us. One of us would go first, then the other one, then the other. So she's never getting on or off without an adult being there. Yeah.
That was the time where that very nice gentleman gave up his single rider seat so that you and Riley could sit together.
So we didn't expect it. We were going to be on the same ride anyway, but I just asked him, hey, can we switch? And so he said, yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
so
that was cool.
That worked out.
So from there, we went and caught the train, Hogwarts Express, over to Islands of Adventure.
Which we have kind of learned, at least recently, the wait time to go from King's Cross to Islands of Adventure is so much shorter than if you're taking Hogwarts Express from Hogsmeade back to Universal Studios. And this is the one thing I will say. Universal Studios almost always is going to close earlier than Islands of Adventure. And so we always go to Universal Studios first because we know that Islands of Adventure is going to close. And like I said, I think the wait time going from Islands of Adventure back to Universal Studios on Hogwarts Express is a lot longer. So we like to ride the other way. We go right to left.
Yeah, so you want to finish at Islands of Adventure.
For sure.
Because Universal, I don't know. I don't want to say it's not a great park. It's got some good things, but you don't spend a lot of time at Universal Studios.
I think there's some things that are good there. I don't particularly love some of the rides there that our girls love. If you're younger, and that's because we're old, like we don't like the rocket and stuff like that. So for us, I love to hit sort of the highlights, and then we go to Islands of Adventure.
Yeah, the rocket,
and I feel like there's more rides for me.
Yeah, the rocket is there, which is they're taking that away though too. So that's going away.
That'll
soon.
Be sad.
But that's, I mean, that's a,
not for me, but for our girls.
That's a good roller coaster. The Simpsons Land is there, which we've done that before. It's ugh.
So I think there's fun rides there if you have young kids.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like I was never a big Simpsons fan, even when I was young.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay. I don't love it.
Yeah. Well, this was a trip that we didn't, like I said, we didn't do everything. So we took the train. We are over at Islands of Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do when we get there?
I can't remember exactly what we went to first. Maybe we looked at like the wait times for like some of the rides there. And I'm not sure if that's when we did the Hippogriff.
That's right.
Or the Hippogriff.
The Hippogriff. Flight of the Hippogriff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we did first.
So.
And that broke down for a little bit.
Yes. But cute short ride if you have kids.
It's like the Barnstormer.
Good.
Maybe a little bit longer than the Barnstormer.
Yeah. In the air.
You're in the air. It's a cute ride.
Yeah, it's very cute. Yeah. And it is short. So, you know, very little kid ride, but cute.
Yeah. And I think from there we went to Dr. Seuss Land, right?
I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was another time where, again, we were trying to stick to our well-known attractions, but we did the Cat in the Hat.
Which was amazing. I've never done that ride. I didn't even, to be frank, know it was there.
So I think this was an experience that we weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was probably, at least in my opinion, one of the closer things that they have done that resembles something Disney would do.
For sure.
Like it just seemed like it was freshly painted. This is Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat, right? So you had thing one, you had thing two,
it was like being in the book. Yeah. It was like a 3D version of the storybook, and I just absolutely thought it was so charming. So not in the storybook in the way I... Right. So you mentioned while we were on it that this is kind of reminded you of like Winnie the Pooh. But I feel like Winnie the Pooh has a lot of like storybook pages that is, you know, are being turned. Mm-hmm. This is not like storybook pages. This is like if you are one of the kids and your mom has gone and you are stuck with the cat in the hat. Like, it's like being inside of the story. And it was just so cute. And my girls, like, especially our youngest daughter, she learned to read Cat. Like, that is how she learned. That's the first book she ever learned to read was Cat in the Hat. And so, you know, all of my girls loved it. But our youngest one in particular, the one that was with us, this was like kind of a special book to her. And so it was really fun, very charming, and totally unexpected how good it was.
I was impressed. I thought it was a really fun attraction. Like you said, really cute, well done. I would say one of those things you shouldn't miss.
100%.
And whether or not you have small kids or not, like,
Cat in the Hat,
go check it out.
Yeah, who doesn't love Cat in the Hat? And you watch the fish and it's in the toilet and like just everything. Like, you're right. Thing one, thing two, like then he's cleaning up at the end. I mean, it's Cat in the Hat. It was so cute.
And they did a good job making thing one and thing two pretty creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like legitimately like is that thing going to jump out and grab us?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it was like, it was so fun.
Yeah.
So
from there we did the train thing above.
Yes.
What's that called? I forget.
I cannot remember that.
It's like a little kiddie train that goes above.
A little, yeah.
Dr. Seuss
Land. It's in Dr. Seuss Land, and it goes into Circus McGurkus
cafe.
Like cafe.
Yeah.
So Circus McGurkus cafe was closed, and I don't know why. Because it seemed a little early for it to close.
It closes at 4.
Just closes early.
Really early.
But you kind of get to travel around, you know, that part of Dr. Seuss, but then also through, you know, I just think it's cute. I love that ride. I think it's cute because it's almost like, to me, kind of the same concept as, what's the ride? What's the longer ride that is in... I just lost it. It's in Tomorrowland.
People Mover.
Yeah, it's like the People Mover, only like charming and cute. Whereas the People Mover is, you know.
Well, this one doesn't go nearly as fast as the People Mover. And that's saying something because the People Mover does not go very fast.
That's true.
This is a pretty slow train.
Same concept of like, we're taking you around this section of the park. And it's not as long as the People Mover either.
Yeah. But it wasn't very short. It's probably a good 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's cute.
And I think it gives you a good overview of what you don't want to miss at Dr. Seuss, in Dr. Seuss. So yeah. It's cute.
Yeah, it was fun. So again, Dr. Seuss Land, super cute.
And we did the carousel. Carousel's cute.
Oh, that's right. We did the carousel. There was no wait for that.
No. Yeah, that was cute.
So there's no wait at all for any of these attractions in Dr. Seuss Land. Like, and that's...
Not that day,
Not that day. Like, mm-hmm. I guess it's probably closing in on... 6-7 o'clock at this point.
Yeah, I would think on a Saturday, and you know, and there was like cheer teams there in town, and they were competing there, and so we did see a bunch of cheer teams and stuff. But yeah, I didn't really feel like there was a lot of wait, so I think it was a good day. Not to say that there wasn't wait elsewhere, but in Dr. Seuss Land, I felt like we not a lot.
Yeah, and we weren't gonna wait. I mean, we were there for a day. We weren't doing a whole lot of waiting.
And we've done a lot of these rides enough that it wasn't worth it to wait.
Yeah.
So.
And we did not do the Incredible Hulk coaster. We did not do VelociCoaster. We had just done those a few weeks prior when we were there for spring break. So we didn't feel like there was a need to.
And I love the Hulk.
The Hulk is great.
The VelociCoaster, I think, is an incredible roller coaster. It's not my, and our youngest, she loves like the bigger, the scarier the ride is awesome.
She is a little daredevil.
Yeah, she is definitely our daredevil, but that just wasn't that day, and she wasn't feeling it that day. So it's not that I don't think the Hulk probably is one of the better roller coasters I can get on the parks, but we just weren't feeling it.
Yeah, so. For sure. So from there, we went and got butterbeer, I think. Was that the time we got butterbeer?
We probably did get butterbeer. I don't really remember what we did from there.
Yeah, because we left Dr. Seuss Land, and I think we traveled back over to, because the park closes at 10.
And I will will say this. I think not only did we get butterbeer, but I think that we went and we got pretzels because we were struggling to find places to eat that wasn't like, we didn't want to have to do, you know, we didn't want to have to do like three broomsticks or something. We wanted something that was a little quicker. And so,
and again, I think, you know, again, going back to this whole debate that Epic Universe is going to take down Disney. Like, there are still a lot of things about Universal at Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure that need a lot of work.
Yeah.
Primarily the food options. Like, there are just not a lot of great food options at all. Disney, the food is part of the experience. Universal hasn't figured that out yet. Maybe at Epic Universe, they've upped their game from what I've heard. But at the two original parks, it is hard. Like, if, I mean, yeah, you can go to Three Broomsticks or the Leaky Cauldron.
I like the Leaky Cauldron.
But it's expensive for what you get.
Yeah. Like, you're going to pay typically like $20 per meal.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get a lot of food.
Yeah.
So
score one for Disney in that category.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I would say, of all the places to eat in the parks, in those two parks, the Leaky Cauldron is my favorite. And I love the concept of three broomsticks, but I just think it feels more cafeteria-like.
Mm-hmm.
And unless, in my opinion, they have this big, massive fireplace like, you know, you see in the movie, unless you're sitting near the fireplace, it feels a lot like a cafeteria. Whereas I feel like the Leaky Cauldron, you're surrounded by the whole scene of it. The Three Broomsticks, just not the same for me. So I think to me, it's like $20 cafeteria food.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's English food, so it's okay to me, but not my favorite. I'm willing to pay that, you know, in the Leaky Cauldron, but maybe not so much in the Three Broomsticks. So.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Well, we really just wanted something quick, which is we got the pretzel.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think from there we went back over to...
I think from there we went back to Hogsmeade. Yeah. And I am not sure if it was at that point that we decided that we were going to stay in line for Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure.
You're right, because the wait was 120 minutes. And they
long.
And they did not have... So Hagrid's usually has a single rider line. They didn't have this one open for whatever reason. They shut it down. So it was going to be a legitimate 90 to 120 minute wait. Which, again, if you're doing this attraction, you want to do it at night. And that's whenever... It's like Tron at night. It's just a better experience when you do it at night.
I think it's cool during the day. I think the first time we ever rode it was during the day, and I was sort of blown away. Then when we rode it at night, I was like, this ride is so much better at night. So I think it's cool either way. There's just something super magical about it at night. It just, I think it's meant to be done at night.
I think the way the bikes are built with those really cool kind of spotlight headlights mm-hmm. that shine in front of you, it looks really close to the movie.
Absolutely.
When Hagrid's on his bike in the movie.
Yeah.
It looks very similar to that. Like, they did such a great job. Yeah, you feel like you're in it.
And I think that, you know, to some degree, I think you're supposed to be coming in and out of, you know, the Forbidden Forest. And so the Forbidden Forest is not going to be daylight. It's going to be trees and dark and a little bit like mysterious and a little bit spooky, right? And so I think because as you enter the queue, there's this big castle, and it's supposed to be a castle where, you know, that's abandoned, and that's where kind of Hagrid is keeping all of his magical creatures. So in my mind, you're in the Forbidden Forest. And so of course it's going to be dark. Of course it's going to feel like it's nighttime.
Yeah.
So,
and we did end up waiting in about 2 hours. This one
shuts down.
This
all
one
the
does
time.
Shut down a lot, and we were kind of getting worried because when we were there over spring break, we did do it once. We tried to do it a second time before the last night before we left, and it shut down while we were in line. So this time it shut down. Well, they kept announcing, you know, Hagrid is experiencing
delays. Yeah, please, thank you for your patience. And there's tons of people starting to leave at certain points.
Yes,
masses of people.
Yeah, and we just took it out because we're like, where are we going to go? This is our last attraction of the night. Like, we want to do it.
Yeah.
It'll probably come back up. And sure enough, it did.
It did. Yeah. And it was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. It's so...
I would not have said that in line.
Yeah, and I've told Dak and Rainey this. I'm like, listen, as much as I love the coasters at Disney. I love Tron. I love Guardians of the Galaxy, Big Thunder Mountain. Hagrid's, I think, has them all beat. And I know that's might be
blasphemous
to a lot of... Hey, listen, yeah. I love Disney. This is a Disney podcast. But Hagrid's is... It's probably my favorite roller coaster. And it's even scary.
No.
It's super fast, but it's not scary.
And absolutely charming. I feel like just about anybody can ride it. There's two parts to it. There's one where somebody is driving the motorbike and then the sidecar. So if you have a kid with you who doesn't feel comfortable on the motorbike, or you're like me, I don't particularly like the motorbike experience. I kind of like more like a typical roller coaster experience. It's kind of like one or the other. So our daughter loves the motorbike experience, and I'm happy to ride in the sidecar next to her.
And I would even say the motorbike experience is it's similar to Tron, but I think it's more comfortable than Tron.
It is. I think it's much better.
Yeah, because you're not leaning forward. You sit on the bike, and there's just a very simple lap bar that comes over your lap.
Whereas Tron is naturally pushing you into like a laying on the bike.
I think that's just because of the design of the light cycle. This is a traditional Hagrid bike. You're sitting up.
It's just a little pea shooter. I mean, it's like a dirt bike almost kind of experience, you know. I mean, he rides a big giant, you know, old time bike.
Yeah, but it is quick. It accelerates very quickly. It's fast. It's got lots of twists and turns, and
for sure,
there's a surprise in there. If you've never done it, we're not going to spoil it for you.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but I will say this. I was the same. I think the wait time is so long, and I really do not like to spend time waiting in lines. I would rather do something else like the Mummy and just go right through and just ride the Mummy three or four times rather than spend any amount of time in line for any ride. But this ride is like my one few of the few exceptions, simply because I love it so much. The first time I rode it, I was like, hands down, that is the best ride to me in all of the parks. And now that I've been to Disneyland as well and done, you know, I think there's some pretty great rides at Disneyland. I still think Hagrid's hasn't beat.
I concur with that. Yeah, and even if you've never seen the Harry Potter movies, which if you've not, Dak, you need to see the movies. Because it does make...
We've tried so hard with Dak.
We need to have a movie night where Dak just comes over and we just all watch Harry Potter together. Dak's family watches Harry Potter.
I know. I think it's crazy.
Just Dak.
I know. And it's so good. I think, you know, if you're... You got to get through the first two or three movies that are probably a little bit more for children or geared towards children. Beyond that, like, if you love anything that is a little bit fantasy, how can you not, you know?
Yeah, well, so, really, I think really just the first two movies, because at number three is the theme starts to get up a little bit. So
yeah, heavier and more mature. Yeah.
So challenge to you, Dak. Watch the movies. Okay.
And then this will all make sense. So dang cool.
Yes.
And I think the queue, I will say this, the outside portion of the queue for Hagrid's, not so great. Once you get inside, the queue is fun, and the wait, as long as the ride doesn't shut down, the wait is pretty quick. And, like, you know, pro tip that we learned a long time ago, and we do this for all of the rides that have sort of long waits. If the park closes at 9:30, we're going to get in line at 8:30. So that should be when the ride wait is shorter. And then also you're not sitting out in the heat waiting if you're outside.
Yes. And fortunately for us, it was a pleasant evening. And they do have fans in the outside part.
And they've got, you know, water fountains and stuff like that. Because you can't bring in your water bottles or anything like that on the ride.
Yeah, you have to get a locker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but then we leave. We exit the ride. And then there's like this surprise we've never seen before. Remember? We walk over. So we had seen a sign earlier in the day that they do projections and fireworks on the castle, Hogwarts Castle.
Yes.
So as we're exiting the ride, you exit and you're right there by the castle. You have to walk over a little bit, but you're Hogwarts Castle, yeah.
Which is in of itself a ride, but so Hogwarts Castle has a ride inside of it, but the castle sort of looms over all of Hogsmeade.
Yes, yes. But we get over there and they got fireworks and they have this projection show. going on in the castle.
Amazing.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, unexpected. And I remember we even commented earlier in the day when we saw the advertisement. We're like, really? Fireworks over Hogwarts?
Yeah, how's that? What is that?
That kind of, but I mean, if you think of, if you remember the movies, they do fireworks.
They do fireworks, but to me, it was kind of like, what part of the movie does that coincide with? Like, I don't really, I can't like put that in Harry Potter. And I've seen the movies a bunch. I've read the books all, you know, 7 of them multiple times. Like, it, just in my brain, it was like, I don't really equate fireworks with Hogwarts, with anything Harry Potter. And so, especially Hogwarts, right? But they do fireworks in the movies, but just it doesn't, you know, that wasn't a real quick connection for me. But this show is so cool, and it makes total sense when you're there.
Yeah, it was, I would say it was on par to what, again, I think Universal is taking notes with what Disney does.
For sure.
And, you know, Disney's been doing projections for a long time now. And unless we're wrong, we've never seen projections at Universal before.
No.
So, and I think this castle projection show is fairly new. So, because it wasn't there when we were there for spring break.
If it was, we didn't see it.
Yeah, we didn't see it.
And we left Islands of Adventure late. We always exit, I would say, Harry Potter World.
Yeah, and we usually stay till close. So anyway, but it was a really good show.
Yeah,
it really was, good show.
It was really cool. It was longer than I expected.
Yeah.
It was really, and it just like, to see the castle lit up in the way that it was just like unbelievable. We kept trying to get pictures of it, thinking like these pictures would sort of come through and how beautiful it looked on the castle. It was just amazing. And we just couldn't get it. We couldn't get the lighting right because it's just so incredible in person. So I would say, hands down, I would, you know, stay for that every night. That
I think it's one of those things now you have to factor in to your,
and there wasn't a lot of people there, so I just don't think people know about it yet.
It felt
like it was very, like, we had really good, you know, really good view. It was very open, like it wasn't packed in. You know, sometimes that is my frustration sometimes with fireworks at Disney World, is I always kind of want to be in a different spot because I feel like even if you got a good spot to begin with, people come in and your spot's no longer good because now you're packed in with everybody, you know. But this was kind of fun that it was like you just almost felt like you had like a private showing after everything had closed.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of people. Yeah. And the castle sits higher.
Yeah, you have to like walk uphill.
And you're looking upwards to the castle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's a good view.
Yeah, it's a great view. It was fun. And we got more butterbeer.
We did. Yeah.
Which
is always the best.
Which is always the best, yeah.
Yeah. I think butterbeer is great in every form they sell it. So
we like it cold, not
we
frozen.
We like it cold.
Yeah. Not frozen, we like it cold.
But when it's cold outside, I like it hot too. Mm. So I think it's good always. But the frozen slushy right butterbeer is my fave. So
yeah.
So
I love butterbeer.
This is a great, great day.
All in all, one day at Universal, coming off this amazing cheer competition where our daughter's team won. Like, it was just an amazing, the weather was fantastic, not a cloud in the sky. Like, it was just so much fun.
Couldn't have been better. Yeah. It was absolutely, like we said, like, it would have been sad if we were there trying to like make our spirits better, but the fact that she had won and we just were still kind of and disbelief at what they had just accomplished, and then just the weather was just absolutely perfect, and and I felt like the park was not too packed. It was just it was a perfect day at Universal.
It was. So that's our Universal recap. We hope you guys like it. Holly, my beautiful wife, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I will say the one thing that we forgot to say, and I think is going to become like a Cuevas tradition, is now before we go into the park, we get voodoo donuts. So they're so
okay,
oversized and so good.
I can't believe we forgot that. So our youngest, our Riley, our cheerleader, she loves voodoo donuts.
All donuts. All but donuts. Especially voodoo.
She's a donut queen, but yeah, she loves voodoo. So Voodoo Donuts is there in City Walk. City Walk is their version of downtown Disney or Disney Springs, right?
But you walk through
it. But you have
to
walk through
it
to get to the parks, right? Yeah. So it's actually pretty cool. And Voodoo Donuts is right there, and they've got all sorts of specialty donuts. You can get your regular glazed, but they have all sorts of, you know, cute decorated donuts, different flavors, and it's become a tradition. Every time we go now, we get voodoo donuts.
Yes, and their donuts are huge, like absolutely oversized, which even if you're just getting a raised regular glazed donuts, it's going to be like three times the size.
And it's not expensive.
No, it's
very
cheap. I think
people might think, oh, it's universal, it's going to be expensive. I think we...
Or specialty donuts, it's expensive.
I think we spent like $12 for those four donuts, and you were like, you're full after you eat them.
No, it was like, half the reason why we didn't eat very much in Universal is because those donuts are enormous.
Yeah, they're very filling. So I forgot about voodoo donuts. That's hilarious.
So... Essential part of the trip.
It is, yeah. So check out Voodoo Donuts. We are not, they're not a sponsor of ours.
No.
But if they're listening, we'll take some free donuts.
Yeah.
So, well, hey guys, to my lovely wife, I thank you for coming on the show this week.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
It is fun. Love talking Disney, love talking Universal. This is Escape to the Magic. And sometimes you just find magic in other places that's not Disney. And Universal, we're big believers in it. You can find a lot of magic at Universal. They do it right in a lot of ways. Hogwarts, Harry Potter Land is amazing. A lot of the other parts of the park are amazing. So, yes, this is a Disney podcast, and 98% of the podcast will be about Disney, but I just thought it'd be fun to talk about Universal.
I agree.
On the show.
It's magical there, too.
It is magical there, too. So, anyway, hey, we'll be back next week. If you like the show, if you like the episode, go on Apple Podcast. Give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. It helps the show grow. You can go over to Spotify, give us a 5-star review. We 100% appreciate it. Leave us a comment, send us a question, and we'll do our best to answer them on the show. Until next week, bye.